For today, I want to talk about, though, a little article I had ran across. Somebody had posted it on a website. And it's just a small article. It's aimed at teaching young children basically how to pray, who they should pray to. And as I was reading through that, I thought, you know, that's a good little teaching technique. And not only that, but it wouldn't just teach children, but it would teach us as well. So I want to talk about that today, modified it just a little bit. But I want you to think about the prayer that's in your hand. If I hold up, in fact, a lot of times when we start to pray, we may pray like this. If I hold up a hand like this, with no fingers up, we have a fist. And what I should remember is I need to pray for my enemies. In Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 8. David realized that his enemies were all around him. Psalm 17, starting with verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They've closed their unfeeling hearts, and with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in their steps. They have set their eyes and cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion who is eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in hiding places. David looked around him and said, there are enemies on all sides of me, and they're out to damage me. But even though we have enemies all around us, Jesus taught us that we need to pray for those who mistreat us. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We might have difficulty, we might have troubles, we might have people that are mean to us. The answer to that is to pray for them. They might treat us badly, but the way we pay them back is by blessing them. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 9. Says, not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to the prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We need to remember to pray for our enemies, because one day they might become our friends. Now, if I hold up my hand like some people pray, and I hold my hand up this way, the thumb is the one that's closest to me. And our thumb ought to remind us that we need to pray for those who are close to us as well. Your family and your friends, those are the easiest people to remember. But we also not take them for granted. We need to pray for them. Jesus declared us as being his friends in John chapter 15 and in verse 14. John 15, verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus declares us as his friends. And just a little bit later in John 17 and verse 20, Jesus in a prayer says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory that thou hast given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Jesus declared us friends and then prayed for us, wanting the best for us, that we might be united. The apostles worked long and hard with Christians, and they established churches throughout various regions. And those people were in their prayers. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul was always praying for the Philippians. Why? Because he saw a good work started. And he prayed that it might mature. He was thankful for the memories that they gave him. In Ephesians chapter 1, he told the church in Ephesus something else. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15, for this reason I too have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He never again ceased making mention of them because he saw the faith and heard of it. In Colossians chapter 1, another church, a church of Colossae, Colossians chapter 1 verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up in you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as unto all the world. Also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it is doing in you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. They're always giving thanks because they heard the good news. And they were spreading it to other people as well. And Paul prayed that they might grow stronger. Down in verse 9 of the same chapter, Colossians 1 verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It was his prayer that they would grow even stronger as they continued to learn God's word. And to the Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. To this end we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that every time Paul says, we are always praying? Think about how many people Paul must have converted. And he was always praying for the various groups, for the churches, the Christians that were located there. Always making mention of them in prayer. We need to remember that we need to pray for those who are closest to us. But if I take my next finger, that's the one we point with. We sometimes call our pointing finger. We need to remember to pray for those who point us in the right way. We need to pray for our parents, our teachers, the preacher, the elders. Pray for the guidance that they give us. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just across the page for both of you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul asks, brethren, pray for us. We need to remember to pray for those who are teaching the gospel. We need to pray that they have opportunities to teach and to teach well. Take a look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul asked for prayers. He wanted people to pray for him for opportunities so that he might speak well, so that he might be able to teach others and do it in such that others would listen and be effective. Paul also asked for prayers that he might be bold. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Paul understood he didn't preach just by himself. He wanted the prayers of his brethren supporting him, both for the opportunities, the knowledge, and the boldness to teach the gospel. And we need to remember that in our prayers. We also need to pray that they have the strength to continue. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians again, this time chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you, that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Sometimes rough. But we need to pray that the teaching continues. The next finger we have is the tallest finger that we have on our hand. We need to pray for those who stand tall among us. We need to pray for our leaders. Paul told us in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 that all government comes from God. Romans chapter 13 Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. All government comes from God, the good and the bad, but they all derive themselves from God. And Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we need to pray for those who are in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Savior. We need to pray that the authorities allow us to continue to live peaceful lives, that they hold their realm in peace so that the gospel might be spread. Solomon prayed that the king may make good judgments in Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and in verse 1, give the king thy judgments, O God. and thy righteousness to the king's son. The king and his family are often the ruling authorities. And Solomon, though he was king, said we need to pray for the king that he might have good judgments, that his sons might be righteous. We need to have leaders who have good judgment, who live righteously. And not only those that lead us in government, but we'd also need to remember those who lead us in the church as well. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate the faith. We need to remember in our prayers those who lead us, those who teach us. The fourth finger is actually our weakest finger. Piano teachers know that. But we need to remember those who are weak among us, those who are ill or in trouble. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and in verse 2, bear one another's burden and thus fulfill the law of Christ. That's our duty as Christians, is to help one another. And part of that we do through prayer. See, when Simon, in Acts chapter 8, was informed and he realized that he had sinned against God, even though he was a new Christian, he came to the apostles and he told them in verse 24, Acts chapter 8, verse 24, but Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing that you have said may come upon me. He understood there was danger. He was weak because of his sins and the newness of what he had learned. James tells us, though, that the prayers of the righteous are effective. James chapter 5, in verse 14. James 5, starting with verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We need to remember to pray for those who are ill, those who are weak, whether it's by physical illness or by spiritual illness. That last finger, though, that's the smallest one of all. And that's where we should place ourselves in relationship to everybody else. Jesus told us that we're to be servants of everyone else in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, starting with verse 25. Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, or to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul also mentions this in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And do not look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. When we pray, we do pray for ourselves, but we put other people first and ahead of them. James chapter 4 and verse 3. one of the problems that we have when we oftentimes pray for ourselves, we don't pray for the right thing. In James 4, verse 3, it says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." Too often when we pray for things that we want for our personal pleasures. That's when Christ tells us to pray and pray for ourselves. That's not what we should be praying about. We should pray about the fact that we are weak. In 1 John chapter 1, and starting with verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to pray to God and realize that we are weak and we need help. And we need to pray for God for our forgiveness. We also need to pray to God to thank Him for the blessings that we do have. Not always going up to God saying, "Give me, give me, give me," but we need to be thankful for the things that we have. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So our prayers should be ones of thanksgiving, as well as asking for help in our weaknesses. It should be a simple way. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who are close to us. Pray for those who point the way. Pray for those who lead. Pray for those who are weak. And pray for ourselves to thank God for our blessings. Perhaps that simple aid will help us remember to pray as we ought to pray. And even in our prayers, when we may not always do as good of a job as we ought to, remember in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, "In the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. I'd like to offer an opportunity this morning that if there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there is members of the church here or other children of God who would like prayers of the brethren on their behalf, there is no better time than now to offer them up. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.